Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Flyer Buzz here on Flyers Radio 24/7. I'm Brian Smith, joined by Bill Meltzer as we jump into another episode of the podcast here. We hope you've been enjoying what's been coming your way so far, and we've got a lot more to come here as the NHL approaches the trade deadline, and then it's into the home stretch of the NHL season, and what's looking more and more like a Flyers playoff berth coming down the line here, as the Flyers are now putting some distance between them and the teams behind them in the standings. Bill, we'll start with the goaltending situation. When we last discussed this, there was certainly a question as to what the Flyers were going to do as far as their goaltending situation. Brian Elliott was already out extended time due to his surgery. And since we last talked, Michael Neuvirth also sustained an injury that's going to keep him out a length of time. And, of course, that was solved the other night with Peter Mrazek coming over from the Detroit Red Wings. And as we record this today on Thursday the 22nd, we're getting ready for his first appearance in a Flyers uniform tonight. And I really think that, you know, when you analyze the whole thing, given the situation the Flyers were in and who's out there, they probably did about the best deal they could to get the bang for their buck that they're going to get in this goaltender.
Absolutely. What I like about the trade is how it's tiered. The compensation to Detroit is tiered based on the level of success the Flyers have, and also how much impact that Mrazek has on that level of success. So, you know, the conditions of the trade are the baseline is a fourth round pick in this coming draft, which, you know, for a goaltender of his experience level and who a couple of years ago looked to be a rising star in the league, I mean, you're not going to get a player of his caliber for less than that. Then it becomes a third round pick if the Flyers make the playoffs and he wins at least five regular season games. That's certainly a bar that the Flyers hope they reach. More than that, I mean, it does look to be a playoff team, and he should get the bulk of the starts. Where it really gets interesting is if the Flyers were to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, which requires 8 wins, and Mrazek wins at least 6, then it becomes a second-round pick. But at that point, you're talking about you're playing in the Conference Final. You know, he's your starter. You know, that's a price you don't mind paying. And if the Flyers were to re-sign him after this season, then Detroit would get an additional third round pick in the year after that. But if you get to a level of success where they're paying that maximum compensation, it's because he's playing lights out and, you know, having a lot of success. And if not, he's not successful, you know, which would be unfortunate for the team and, you know, for him, I mean, then you're not really giving up that much necessarily. You know, Mrazek is a goalie who, as I said, 2 years ago, looked to be one of the rising young star goalies in the NHL. Hit into some tough times the last season or two. Some inconsistency in his game. But he's a goalie we've talked about with Michael Neuvirth as well. He's a goalie who can get on a run. He can steal games when he's on his game. And, he has a very high degree of athleticism. Actually, Brian, one of the things that I'm interested in seeing is that he's only had the benefit of one practice with the team. I mean, one of Mrazek's big assets, he's a very aggressive puck-handling goalie. Without the benefit of a lot of practice time, it's going to be interesting to see that if he kind of simplifies that a little bit as he makes the adjustment.
And you talked about how the Flyers, if they have success, will maybe pay a little bit more, and if they don't, it'll just be the fourth-round pick. Perhaps this team has never been more positioned to give up a draft pick like that. You've seen more and more solid NHL players come out of those mid rounds, but with what the Flyers already have in the cupboard in terms of prospects, and Ron Hextall's pretty good about holding on to his picks. Certainly not a big price to pay for the point that Hexie made that this team where it is right now, it deserves a solid number one NHL proven goaltender to try and make a playoff run here. And it's always been said that once you get in, anything can happen. And just to see what might happen with this team is pretty exciting given the way they've played here the last couple of months.
Absolutely. As we're recording it today, I mean, if the Flyers beat Columbus, not only do they put even more distance between themselves and the bottom end of the playoff picture, they have 2 points with a tiebreaker advantage right now over Jersey. You maintain at least that much. Pittsburgh is idle on this Thursday night. So the Flyers could wake up tomorrow morning tied in points with the Penguins. They have the tiebreaker on the Flyers. And, you know, potentially moving within a point of the top spot in the division. You know, when you're sitting in third place and you have a little bit of a cushion there, you know, you can look forward. You don't have to necessarily look who's behind you, who's gaining on you. You know, you can look on maybe challenging for home ice, see maybe even the top spot conceivably if they keep on winning, so that those opportunities are sitting in front of them.
When you look at this team overall through the last, whatever it's been, almost 3 months, when you go back to December the 4th, they've been so good that their record since December the 4th, the end of that 10-game losing streak, started with a win over Calgary, is third best in the National Hockey League. They're behind only Boston and Vegas. They're ahead of everybody else in the Metro. They're ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's just kind of remarkable when you sit down and look at those numbers, how good this run has been. When you look at this body of work as a whole, what do you see has been some of the keys to their success during this time frame?
Well, I think that for the most part, the Flyers have early in the season, I think the Flyers were kind of a one-line team. The emergence of Travis Konechny, the recent emergence of Nolan Patrick looks starting to settle in more and more. Suddenly it looks to be a deep lineup. You know, it's not just the one line or if the top power play unit isn't clicking on a given night, you know, you're going to really struggle for goals. So the Flyers have been able to get scoring from various points in the lineup. You look at all the guys who are in double-digit goals at this point. I mean, that's really good depth in the lineup. And two of them are defensemen, too. So you can get scoring from the blue line, too. I think another point has been the putting together of Ivan Provorov and Shane Gostisbehere as a top pairing. They've been a dominant top pairing. So you have a dominant top pairing on defense. You have a deeper-looking forward lineup. And for the most part, you know, there have been hiccups, but for the most part, the Flyers' goalies have given them a chance to win. You know, you combine those things. The recent run, although, you know, it's not only sustainable for so long, but, I mean, the run of three straight games with no penalties is pretty remarkable, because there have been some, emotional games in there. You look at that Rangers game, there were three fights in that first period. A lot of those games, you know, you end up with retaliation penalties, those kind of things. They've done a very good job of keeping their emotions in check, channeling them the right way, but also in staying up on their skates, good positioning. Those are the kind of things when you don't have that's when you end up with the hooking penalties, the tripping, all the stick slashing, all those things. I mean, you go three straight games without a penalty, it speaks to the level of discipline you're playing with. So they're, you know, obviously there are going to be some breakdowns. There are going to be scoring chances you give up. That's just inevitable. But if you look at the Flyers' 5-on-5 splits, and Dave Haxel made the point that the teams that are underwater at 5-on-5 tend to struggle, as the season moves along and the checking gets tighter. The teams that are above average 5-on-5, and the Flyers all season long have been in the top five in fewest goals allowed 5-on-5. Well, if you're staying out of the box and you're one of the five best in fewest goals allowed with a bigger and bigger positive, you know, goal differential, hey, you know, you look at the record and it's not a fluke.
So you brought up the last, the last three games without a penalty given up. Not just penalty minutes. There have been penalty minutes, but the Flyers have not been shorthanded in three straight games, and that has possibly only happened one other time in NHL history. And there's some question about that just based on the fact that we don't know if records are available before 1977. But regardless, it's only happened once since then. But not just looking at that, that might be a fluke. That might just be, the way the games have gone. But what's not a fluke is when you look at the Flyers' overall time shorthanded over the last 5 years. The year before Dave Haxtell got here, the Flyers, in terms of the shorthanded situations they faced, were 29th in the NHL, and meaning they faced the second most shorthanded situations in the league. In Dave Haxtell's tenure, that number has dropped every year to the point where this year, I believe last time I looked, they were 8th fewest. So they've gone from 29th, from second most to 8th fewest, and I, I would imagine that has been a conscious effort on the behalf of the coaching staff to cut down on penalties, because what the Flyers were running into back then was that, you know, they were killing off penalties so much that they didn't have the energy to play 5-on-5. And, you know, that obviously is going to come back to bite you if you you keep that up. You know, again, I don't know if that's a coaching thing or the way things have evolved with the roster changing and whatnot, but it's definitely something that's there.
Well, yeah, and if you look at, I mean, obviously power play, penalty killing percentage is important, and the Flyers' percentage is not very good. On the flip side of that, if you're not taking a lot of penalties, you know, say you go 1-for-2 on a given night, right, 50%, but you know, but it's one goal, and if you're good 5-on-5, you know, it's manageable. If you're taking a lot of penalties, I mean, they're even if you kill them off, there's definitely a wear down effect on a team. You know, you're overtaxing the guys who kill penalties. You're taking guys who aren't on the penalty killing units. You're taking them out of the flow of the game. And a lot of times when you're in these situations, you're playing back-to-back, you're playing 3 and 4, it shows up in the third period of games. If you're wearing yourself down killing penalties, you know, a lot of these close games might not go your way down, you know, in crunch time of games. And also over the course of managing energy over the season, when you're killing a lot of penalties, you know, I think it can show up sometimes in the stretch drive of season too. So it's not just the numbers themselves. There's a lot of ancillary things that, you know, that go along with it.
So this will be most likely our last episode before the trade deadline, which comes up on Monday, 4 days from now. The Flyers are in a position where, you know, they could, if they wanted to, look at maybe adding a piece or two. I would not say that we're going to call this team buyers, just because I'm not sure that's the way Ron Hextall wants to go with his overall personnel right now. But, you know, given where the Flyers are at here, just 3 points out of the Metropolitan Division lead heading into this game against Columbus tonight, what are your thoughts on what we might see between now and Monday with this team, where they might be able to improve a little bit, or if it's more likely we just stand pat here in Philadelphia?
I think if you look at throughout the Eastern Conference, particularly in the Metropolitan Division, I mean, there's a window here. There's an opportunity. I don't think there's any team that's without flaws. You know, the Flyers, their areas I think they can shore up. You know, honestly, the help might come from within. If you look at what Travis Sanheim has done with the Phantoms, he only has 15 points and is plus 13 in his 13 games there. He's certainly trying to make as strong a case as he can to make his stay there short. You know, I don't know what the timetable is to bring him back up. But, you know, you could see a lot of times there's a tendency to prefer veterans down the stretch. So you might see a veteran defenseman added for depth, you know, in lieu of a call-up. You could, if the Flyers were to make a move, you might see, you know, another penalty-killing type. Teams can always use a little bit more help on the wing. You know, Flyers seem pretty strong down the middle right now. So, you know, I think it would be a supporting cast piece, though, rather than a main piece.
When you look at the overall situation too, with the you know, the goaltending addition and what have you, you know, the roster limit goes away after the trade deadline, so we don't have that concern. But Flyers do have to worry about the cap and all that. You know, I don't know how the numbers crunch with this whole goaltending thing, but you know, they could conceivably have all three of these guys around for the playoffs, and that would be a rather formidable, I think, presentation for this team to have these guys all available. And you know, it's certainly not the three goaltenders we had you know, back in 2011, 2010, when guys were kind of rotating in and out. But you know, it's a good insurance policy.
It certainly is, you know. And you know, you mentioned the salary cap. I mean, one of the other benefits here is that Detroit is absorbing half of Mrazek's cap hit for the rest of the season. So if the Flyers wanted to, they could still make another move, but it also makes it you know, pretty very manageable salary cap situation. I mean, you know, who are going to be the two goalies in the playoffs? Well, that remains to be seen how Mrazek plays, how Brian Elliott comes back. You know, the type of surgery he had is a kind of a, you know, kind of a dicey one. And, you know, it, and Neuwirth, too, you know, if he's ever healthy, is a goalie we saw in the playoffs a couple of years ago. So competition is a good thing. Most goalies, most teams tend to carry three goalies anyway in the postseason, even if one isn't practicing with the team, you know, practices with the Black Aces or whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, there are three capable guys. I think it's a, it certainly is a better situation than, you know, I think back to 2013 where it was by necessity. It was actually Sergei Bobrovsky's rookie year, but it was that revolving door, and Michael Layton ended up back in the net, and you just, I mean, that situation was such where it was more important who the backup goalie was, because there was a very good chance who the starter was wasn't going to get through the game. You know, this is you know, presumably a much more favorable situation if you can get the other guys healthy again too.
So looking at the overall organizational situation here, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms are again near the top of the American Hockey League, second overall in the Eastern Conference, to having a terrific year. You certainly don't want to, you're certainly going to make the NHL team the priority. At the same time, though, I have to imagine there's part of Ron Hextall that does not want to gut that team as far as a playoff run goes. That being said, you know, if they're still going, the Flyers are done, everybody can go back, but it's a good problem to have two teams now in very good situations overall heading into the stretch run.
Right, and obviously the first priority is the NHL team. You know, we'll see Oscar Lindblom has a great opportunity in front of him right now. Was really playing tremendous hockey for the Phantoms before he was called up to the Flyers. With Wayne Simmonds out for 2-3 weeks, it's a nice opportunity for Oscar to show what he can do. He had a very good debut game. The thing with Oscar is he can contribute even if he's not scoring at a particular time, and he has offensive ability too, don't get me wrong. He's a guy the Flyers do think is going to score, particularly in the long haul. But, you know, Oscar's a guy who has a nice opportunity up here. But if the situation works out where, you know, he does end up going back to the Phantoms, you know, he's acquiring some experience in the NHL. And, I mean, if you look at that Phantoms roster, they have a ton of depth, you know, and they've finally gotten healthy. Sam Moran is the only guy who's still out. The rest of the key components are all available to them until Oscar was called up. And, you know, Alex Lyon, of course, is with the big club now. Anthony Stolarz was cleared. He's back with the Phantoms. He's going to take a little time until he's ready to play. But that's a team that can definitely make some noise in the Calder Cup playoffs. That's a very dangerous and very balanced team.
And one of the other things that been going on with the Phantoms is Travis Sanheim went back down there, and he has been unreal since he went back to the Phantoms. You were sending out some numbers for something else the other day, and I saw his line that I hadn't realized was going on, and I kind of blinked and had to look twice at it.
Yeah, and I said 15 points in his first 13 games. He had 2 points last night, actually, and he went over Utica. He plus 13 in his first 13 games. Just playing, tremendous two-way hockey right now, playing with a ton of confidence. And also, you know, Philippe Myers, as he's settled in this year, has really started to spread his wings, too. So that's, you know, it's very exciting. A lot of the young players on that team are getting it done. You know, we talked about Travis, we talked about Philippe, talked about Oscar, but a guy like Nicolas Aubé-Kubel has kind of flown under the radar. He's having an outstanding second American Hockey League season. If you look at his numbers, they look good, not great, but when you realize he doesn't play power play, these are all even strength points, and he's right up near the top of the league in even strength points, playing outstanding two-way hockey. There's a guy who might be an underrated call-up candidate, and if not, is an increasingly important player for the Phantoms. You know, it's not just the veterans, but they have a good core of veterans on the team too. So it's a good mix.
Not to take anything away from their effort last year, but last year the Phantoms were in a situation where the top four teams in their division were the top four teams, I believe, in the entire league. Yeah. Definitely in the Eastern Conference, and went into a divisional showdown in the first round of the playoffs where two of those top four teams weren't going to make it out because of the way the playoffs are structured. Making it worse, it was a best of five, so you have very little room for error, and they end up losing to the Hershey Bears in that first round. This year, not quite as tight. They're going to be in a better situation. They just don't have quite as much competition as they did last year which, you know, I think might bode well for this team to make some noise in the Calder Cup playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of a two-team race now with Wilkes-Barre Scranton and the Phantoms. And those are the two teams you figure, you know, are the teams to beat until they run into the Toronto Marlies. They've been outstanding too. But that first round, that best of five last year, and don't forget that the Phantoms didn't have either of their goalies because both Alex Lyon and Stolarz got hurt, so they ended up having to call Ouellette up from Reading, and I think that played into the fifth game. It was an odd series because the home team lost every game of the series. The Phantoms lost both games in Allentown.
Right.
Then they went to Hershey and they won both of those games. And then, you know, then Hershey won game five in Philly. It was a lower scoring series than I think people anticipated, too. Phantoms had scored so many goals all season and had trouble scoring in that series. You know, I think things are set. I think the table's set up for them better this year than a year. I don't think there's a question.
So as we head toward the trade deadline and kind of what we call the home stretch here in the college and junior ranks, it's getting to be tournament time for the college kids, and the junior playoffs will start to commence here before too long. We've seen several Flyers prospects having great years at the amateur levels. What are some of the spots to watch here as these other leagues head toward the end of their regular season?
Well, you know, the several Flyers prospects or teams have already clinched playoff spots. Carter Hart and Everett have clinched a playoff spot for the 15th straight season. That's the current longest streak in the Western League. I caught, actually, after the Flyers game ended on Tuesday night, I caught the end of Everett's game against Spokane, and you know, they were down 6-4, actually had a 6-3 briefly, and Carter Hart just slammed the door at the end of the game. If you look at Carter Hart compared to the other goalies in that league, it's crazy. It's almost like he's playing in a different league because the Western League is a really high-scoring league, and you look at his numbers, it's like a 152 goals against, a save percentage over .950, and then you look at the next best goalie, and it's something like a .278 goals against and a .915 save percentage.
Wow.
The drop-off is that outrageous, you know, Everett's a team that could go deep, maybe even win the thing and play in the Memorial Cup. In the Ontario League, the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds are definitely the team to beat, and the straw that stirs the drink for that team is Morgan Frost. He's currently one point off of the Ontario League scoring lead. It's kind of funny because he had an assist taken away from him. Right now, that's the difference in the scoring race. You can look at it that way. But the Barrie Colts play tonight. Aaron Luchuk is one point ahead, and Sault Ste. Marie doesn't play again until this weekend. But whether he ends up winning the scoring title or coming in second or whatever, he's definitely gonna lead the league in plus minus, and he's on a team that can go a long way in the postseason. And he's doing it as an 18-year-old. You know, a lot of the guys he's competing with at the top of the league in scoring are guys who are 19, even 20. So it's very impressive what he's been doing. And also, you know, there have been some changes in the lineup. He was on a line. He's been with Boris Kachuk pretty much all season. But Taylor Radish has moved to another line to just kind of spread the scoring out just a little bit further. Ryan Roth, very talented little player, but not the same caliber of player as Radish. He's currently playing right wing on that line. That's just a tremendous lineup. You look up and down. You know, Barrett Hayton is a guy who maybe even, you know, he might even be drafted in about the range where the Flyers might be picking in the first round. So, you know, that's a very exciting and deep team. I mean, would it be a surprise at all to see a couple of prominent Flyers prospects in the Memorial Cup? I don't think so at all. And just to just kind of wrap that up, you know, it's not just those two guys. You know, Isaac Ratcliffe, the guy the Flyers picked in the second round this past year, he's been on a tear lately. He just went through a run of I think 10 goals in 12 games, something outrageous, like 56 shots on goal in those 12 games.
Wow.
He's, you know, and Guelph's not a deep team. They're not a team that's the caliber of Sault Ste. Marie. He's really stepped to the forefront. And you know, a guy like Maxim Sushko flies under the radar. He's leading the Ontario League in shorthanded goals. I mean, there's just lots of good signs that wherever you look, the collegiate guys. You know, Tanner Leshinsky has been tremendous this season. He was among the scoring leaders in college hockey before Wade Allison got hurt and went out for the season. He was right up there. You know, and he's a guy who might even be playing pro next year. He's been that impressive this season. He might be ready to come out after 2 years.
Well, it should be a very exciting fall for the Flyers organization as we get a look at some of these guys that might be coming along here for a shot at the pro level. Taking a look at the alumni, what's going on there? I hear Joe Watson might have had some mishaps in this game in Maine. Poor guy.
Yeah, Joe pulled a hammy in Portland, but Joe will be fine.
Sounds like they were trying to debate whether they got to put him down on the ice there or something.
Yeah. Joe's unflappable. You know, Joe will be right back out there again as soon as he possibly can. I think I saw him a little bit earlier today. He said he wants to be back on the ice in 2 weeks.
So. I know they've been busy. Is there anything coming up for that crew?
They do. They have an upcoming game at the Northeast Skate Zone. They always do a benefit game every year. Checkmates Charities. They raise money for the research, treatment, education pertaining to gastrointestinal diseases. That's an event they do every year. They always do a really good job with that one. And the alumni really stay busy. There's a lot of stuff coming up. We'll tease this one here. There's a big announcement coming up regarding the Charity Classic in July, and the alumni are going to be prominently involved in that as well.
And while not directly related to the Flyers, I would be remiss if we didn't mention the big win by the U.S. women's team in the gold medal game against Canada, and a couple of Dave Haxtell's old North Dakota buddies, the Lamoureux twins, with a big hand in that. Wouldn't mind bringing Jocelyn in for some shootout duty with that thing. I don't know if Canadian goalie still knows where she is after that fake. That was unreal.
That was beautiful. Yeah, I mean, totally bit on the fake, and you know, ended up a pretty easy goal once she ran around her. That was absolutely beautiful. I mean, you hate to see a gold medal decided on a shootout, but there was so much skill on display there. That was a great game.
So a huge congratulations to that group, and I'm sure it's going to be something they remember forever after that gold medal win. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Flyer Buzz. Bill, thanks for joining us. I'm sure we'll see a lot coming up from you at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com along the trade deadline. He'll be bringing you some, I don't know if you have anything specific planned, but we tend to come to you and stuff like that happens.
Yeah, well.
So we'll see what you're writing for that. So we'll see what's going on with that. And then I know we have another episode of the Broadcasters Roundtable coming up as well, so we'll have that up in the next day or two for you here on Flyers Radio 24/7. Thanks again for joining us, everybody, and have a great weekend.